Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we focus on in this show. We talk about strategies, and I share blueprints and ideas. I share some of those big, epic mistakes I've made along the way. I interview different experts in the field, all because I know that teachers are vital in helping students have voice and choice in their learning and develop that creative potential. And before we get started, I just want to share a word from our sponsor. Just kidding, it's going to be multiple words, because if it was one word, it wouldn't be an advertisement. So, multiple words from our sponsor. Here we go. Teachers, do you need to identify instructional gaps, provide personalized learning paths, and track learning progress to mastery for students? Then listen up. McGraw-Hill has an adaptive learning program called ALEX, and it has already helped millions of students. ALEX is an online math and science program for grades 3 through 12 that will inspire confidence and yield measurable results. With dynamic learning paths and real-time feedback, ALEX can be used for intervention, acceleration, and enrichment. Get 2 months free at mheonline.com/math1. That's MHE for McGraw-Hill Education. Online.com/math1. ALEX has already helped millions of kids. Check it out today and see if it's the tool you need to help your students. Don't miss out on the opportunity for 2 free months only at mheonline.com/math1. That's MHE for McGraw-Hill Education. Online.com/math1. So today we're going to be talking about this idea of how creative work is similar to working out. And before I get started, I just want to say I need to lift weights. I know that I need to lift weights. When I am done with this podcast episode, I'm going to go lift weights. But in this particular moment, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to lift weights. I will, because it will help me burn calories. It will help me improve my strength. It will make me feel better. It's how I'll end up sleeping better. All of the above, but I don't want to do it. On the other hand, I tend to love creative work. I spend hours sketching out pictures, editing them, and transforming them all into short little sketch videos. In fact, I'm about to do a sketch video that's all about universal design for learning, and I am super duper stoked about it. I get up early each morning and I plug away at a book or a new blog post, and I typically feel really excited the moment I wake up. Okay, not really the moment I wake up. The moment I wake up, I go downstairs, I feed the dogs, and then I make sure that I give myself time for the coffee to kick in, because I always start with coffee. But after the coffee kicks in, I really enjoy creative work. It's not hard for me to get going. I love dreaming up new ideas. I get a kick out of creating something new. I geek out on the revision process. I love creative work. Now, on the other hand, I don't particularly love working out. I have never experienced the so-called runner's high that people gush about. In fact, I don't even know if the people who refer to a runner's high have ever actually gotten high in their lives. Or maybe it's like magic eye. I'm sure it works for some people that they experience the so-called runner's high, but not for me. I don't get pumped about pumping iron. I don't love running. Now, don't get me wrong, I enjoy hiking, though that's mostly because I am consumed by the beauty of nature when I go on a hike. If I could experience the same beauty without having to exert myself physically, I might choose a lawn chair over a trail map. In other words, the only way I enjoy exercise is if I'm completely distracted by the fact that I'm exercising. whether it's a podcast on a long run or a period of silence during weightlifting, my enjoyment seems to stem from the distraction and not the exercise itself. Now, that being said, I work out 5 to 7 days a week, but I don't enjoy it. I work out because it's necessary. I feel the benefits of working out. Now, I've lost nearly 60 pounds in the last 2 years, and I've done a really good job in the last 6 months of keeping the weight off that I already lost, and it's been great. My joints don't hurt. I can sit down and it doesn't hurt. I mean, it just feels good. And I'm not meaning that to be a comment about weight or weight loss or body shaming. Just for me, I can move more easily. I also feel a lot less stressed out. I'm sleeping better than ever before. Furthermore, I enjoy the deeper periods of silence when I can reflect and plan and come up with random ideas while I'm on a long run. For what it's worth, I've also noticed that, well, exercise helps me in my creative work. I know, for example, that going on a long run creates boredom-induced mental rest, and that often leads to creative breakthroughs. Some of my best planning happens when I'm running. There's a great exploration of this concept in the book Rest. I have referenced it often in this blog and in this podcast, and I can't say it often enough. Go buy the book Rest. It's one of the best books to come out in the last 5 to 10 years. I know that weightlifting makes me feel less stressed and more energized. I'm more productive in my creative work when I'm sticking to an exercise regimen. I mean, I know that this is true. But it has me wondering if there are actually some overlaps between working out and creative work. So I want to explore 5 ways that creative work is similar to working out. 1, creative work requires routines. My friend Josh Stumpenhorse runs every day. And I mean like every day. This seems unfathomable to me. If he's on vacation, he runs. I don't. Like, I don't at all run when I'm on vacation. If he's speaking at a conference, he runs. If it's the day after Thanksgiving and his body wants to go into full-blown hibernation, and it's already freezing in his home state of Illinois, he goes out there and he runs. Now, this has become a way of life for Josh. It is a true habit. And while I think it's somewhat bizarre, and I don't want to keep a run streak, it absolutely works for him. I don't have a run streak, but I do have a creative routine. I get up early every morning, unless I'm on vacation, and I devote at least 1 hour to writing and another hour to some type of creative project. Sometimes it's a sketch video, other times it's part of a course I'm teaching or a video for self-paced professional development. Whatever it may be, I devote this time to creative work. I don't give myself the permission to, you know, grade student work during this time or to read a book. In fact, I treat this time like it's a professional work appointment, and I guard that time on my calendar, which thankfully is pretty early in the morning. If I don't show up, I feel the same disappointment that I would feel when I've bailed on a friend or a colleague. Sometimes the creative process is easy. I sit down and get to work and things just click. Other times it's a full hour of never quite getting into that creative groove. But the end result is nearly always the same. I've done the creative work that I plan to do. There's a finished product that I'm proud of. And more importantly, I've developed a creative habit. So that's the first idea. Creative work requires routines, just like working out. 2, creative work requires rest. There's an interesting study cited in that book, Rest, that I referenced earlier, where they looked at the productivity of professors who spent anywhere from 10 to 60 hours per week on research. Now, those who spent beyond 30 hours a week on their research ended up producing fewer papers and having fewer creative breakthroughs. In fact, the most productive group was the group that tended to devote closer to 10 hours per week in their research. Now, why is this the case? What the author suggests is that rest is actually vital for creative thinking. The downtime that we experience when we go for walks, exercise, or take naps allows our brains to process seemingly disconnected ideas. This mental rest also creates the space for us to solve complex problems in a relaxed way. And what's happening is that your brain is actually very active, even though you don't think it's very active. The synaptic connections are just firing like crazy. Now, this is similar to the value of rest time and exercise. Recuperation allows muscles to heal, the whole idea of muscle protein synthesis. And it's why people will wait 24 to 48 hours between certain workouts. It's why you will create space between different sets when you're lifting weights. The body needs rest. And I would argue that your mind needs rest as well. So even though you want to have creative work that requires routines, we also need to embrace this idea of rest. Number three, creative work can feel uninspiring. Inspiration is critical to creativity. Those little sparks of ideas often ignite a passion for a project. But there's this less inspiring element where you fan the flames of that inspiration, or where you just spend the time tending to the fire. You will hit moments of frustration and boredom. Your work doesn't turn out right, and you can't figure out what you need to do to fix it. You make mistakes, huge mistakes, and for all the talk of embracing failure, these moments feel absolutely lousy. You have days when you're just gonna feel like you don't wanna even get started. You have a show you can binge watch, or dishes that you could be washing, chores to do, a book that's not gonna read itself, right? And it's tempting to take the day off. In these moments, the creative work can feel like a run in the icy rain when all you want to do is wrap yourself up in a blanket and read. These are the moments when creative work can feel like climbing a switchback without ever being able to see the summit. And yet, it is worth it in the end. Because although it feels amazing to be inspired, it feels more amazing to finish creative tasks when you didn't even feel like getting started. See, there's this common myth out there that you should do creative work when you feel inspired to do it. You get excited about an idea and then you throw yourself into the process until you have something that you love. But creative work is still work. It's fun, yes. It's enjoyable sometimes. But it's also a discipline that requires you to work hard and follow through even when you don't feel like it. I created a little flowchart for myself about whether or not I should write, because I have a goal of writing every day. And it's just basically this. Should I write today? And then it goes down to a box that says, do I feel inspired? And then there's a yes and a no option. And then they both point down to another box that says, start writing. Just keep writing. That is the takeaway. Some of my biggest creative breakthroughs occurred on days when I didn't feel inspired at the outset. I've learned that the inspiration is often a result, not the cause of getting started and doing the work. So the idea is simple, just get started on the work. Number four, creative work is difficult at the beginning. Creative work is often frustrating at first. You feel like you don't know what you're going to do. You constantly ask yourself if you're doing it the right way. And truthfully, you're slower. You haven't hit that pace of creative fluency where you can spend hours lost in a task. You don't have that same creative stamina that other people have. Everything seems difficult. And chances are, you're not that good at the craft either, whether it's painting or drawing or an engineering project or a home improvement project. Whatever it may be, you often feel like your skills aren't where they should be. Now, the same thing happens when you start lifting weights or running. You're slow, you're sloppy, everything takes a long time. The learning curve seems huge and progress seems painfully slow. You don't have the capacity or the stamina that you were hoping for. And everything seems new to you, but not in that cool, exciting novelty kind of way. You feel lost. In other words, the early stages in your creative journey can feel like the first few weeks of getting started with running or weightlifting or yoga. It's painful, it's confusing, and everybody around you seems to know what they're doing, and you don't. However, it helps to start small and build up over time. We often think about building creative habits, but it's really more about building creative momentum. If you think about it this way, habits are doing the same thing consistently day after day after day. That's valuable and necessary. But momentum is this idea of consistency with continual improvement. Slowly you start improving and building your creative endurance, and eventually it gets easier to engage in the daily creative work. And I'll say this, is why I think, if your goal is to write every day, start out with 100 words a day. Start out with 200 words a day. Don't start out with 1,000 words a day. Keep it small at first and then move up until you're eventually doing 500, 700, 1,000 words a day. Finally, number 5, creative work thrives when we are part of a community. Individual sports are rarely as individual as they appear. For example, runners will often join running clubs and participate in larger communities. They network with one another, geek out on, what types of gels they're going to use for refueling, or how to best prevent shin splints, or which type of shoe they should wear. And I mean, this is just running. Like, this is literally like, can you move your feet forward? That's it. They realize something critical. Even when you work alone, you never want to be entirely isolated. So when I think about this, I think the same thing is true of creative work. We need to have the opportunity to share our needs with one another, our frustrations, our success stories, our hopes and dreams, our goals, our strategies, share the emotional aspects of the creative process, to be vulnerable with other people and transparent about what's going on. Now, this is part of why I love this idea of a mastermind group. If you're not familiar with the mastermind group and the hot seat or sweet seat process, you can check out the sketch video that I created on this idea of mastermind groups. But the idea is simply this. A mastermind group is a self-initiated democratic community with members who share similar goals and interests. Members meet together in small groups of 3 to 6 people to provide accountability, structure, and feedback. They often share ideas and strategies. It's a chance to be vulnerable. It's a chance to share challenges and frustrations. And what you'll do is there will be a hot seat or sweet seat process where you get to talk, you get feedback from other people, you share your goals, you share your progress, and then each person rotates in a circle. Final thought is this. I really think it helps to gamify your process. If we think about it this way, exercise apps and fitness organizations have found success in helping people develop fitness habits by using elements of gamification. I think the same thing should be true of our creative habits. We can make use of these elements of gameplay, like numbers and streaks and metrics and tracking progress, and it can help us to gamify these creative habits so that they become that creative momentum. So here's what I mean. Make it easy to start. Games work because the barrier of entry is low. And so again, start out with just writing 100 words a day, those small goals that create big wins early on. This is what apps do. Similar concept with your creative habit. As you improve, you can increase the challenge incrementally. You can create levels for yourself where you hit benchmarks and increase your challenge level. And this allows the challenge to be just above the skill level. I love this idea in flow theory that if the skill level is too low, you'll experience worry and anxiety. But when the challenge is just above your skill level, you're likely to hit a state of flow. And that's the goal here. As you go, you can track your progress, which is, again, something that you see in gamification. Apps, games, they tell you how you're doing as you're going. If you've ever played Pokemon Go, you've seen how they track consecutive days. Well, the same thing is true with runners who do things like a run streak, like my friend Josh that I mentioned. And the same thing can be true of writing, painting, reading. You can keep a streak. You can create progress bars for yourself. All kinds of different ways to track your progress as you go. And you might also use visual cues. On phones, we have alerts and notifications for games. But you can also create notifications by designing visual cues in your physical environment, right? And so whatever it may be, it could be, you know, you want to learn how to play guitar, put the guitar out and it's there for you. You put the paints out to start painting. You have visual markers that you use to remind yourself to get going. You have a phrase or a mantra that you'll say to yourself before you get started on your work. Whatever it may be, you're making use of those visual cues. So ultimately, creative work and working out are both habits and even disciplines, and they're both vital to life. Now, teachers, when they want to integrate this with students, are going to run into challenges, right? You as a teacher can't control the bell schedule, the curriculum map, that type of stuff. But you can still integrate creativity into your content, right? One of my favorite ways, and we talk about it often on this podcast, is with project-based learning. Same thing with design thinking. And so as you do that, it's tempting to focus on the sort of fun, enjoyable sides of creativity. But there is this other side where it is a discipline and a habit as much as it is a hobby. And the more we can help students develop that creative endurance, the better off they'll be in the long run. And I think the same thing can be true in our own lives as we engage in creative work as well, especially as we move into the summertime where you might be doing some cool, fun, creative projects. So again, hopefully this is something that can provoke some thought for you, and you can approach it as something vital and necessary, similar to working. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher? You know, even if you don't enjoy this podcast, you leave a review. That would be awesome. So thank you again so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.